from verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. And the church say, Amen. I would like to point out five things the Lord laid in my heart concerning the theme, just the theme for now. And thereafter, I will share with you my thoughts on the topic that Pastor Sam asked me to preach on. Number one, the theme came as the content of prayer credited to our Lord Jesus Christ. This theme is one of the contents of prayer credited to our Lord Jesus Christ, popularly known as our Lord's Prayer. That is point number one. The number two, the theme paints a clearer picture of God's priority. Clearer picture of God's priority, which is His kingdom precedes our needs. His kingdom precedes our need. Now, when you look at verse 10 of our text, verse 10 says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is God's priority. Now, when you look at verse 11 to 13, you begin to see human needs. Give us this day our daily bread. We will finish the matter of the kingdom before we begin to talk of our individual needs. So God is interested in His kingdom agenda first than our needs. Forgive us our sin, lead us not into temptation. And most times we pray much on this. If you can sincere with yourself, you will notice that you pray more on give us or give me our daily bread, my daily bread. But you don't mention the kingdom. You pray more about forgive me my sin. You pray more about lead me not into temptation. But when it comes to the matter of the kingdom, you don't mention that as it were. But Jesus set the template of the prayer. The first thing, which is God's heartbeat and priority, is what? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And I would like you to take that into cognizance. Oftentimes, the prayers we pray, why is it that the Lord is not giving attention to them? It's because He's selfish. His kingdom is not captured. Why do you want God to promote you? If you can be sincere with yourself, why do you want blessing? Is it not to show up? Ostentation, showmanship. It is not for the enlargement or for the expansion of His kingdom. And when such is not captured, God will not listen to that. If you read verse 31 to 33 of the same text, Jesus mentioned something. He said, Do not worry, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of them. Then verse 33, he pointed to the same matter. Seek you first your daily bread. Seek you first promotion in office. I'm not hearing you, church. Seek you first marriage and whom to marry. Seek you what? The kingdom and his righteousness. Other things. Somebody say other things. Najara. When Anna prayed, I don't know what was the content of her prayer until I saw the one captured in the scriptures. When Anna was praying because she was barren. But suddenly, that woman captured the essence of the kingdom. When Anna was in need of babies, God was in need of priesthood. The house of Eli failed woefully in priestly ministry. So God was looking for replacement. Suddenly, Anna prayed. Say, God, if you can give me a son and roll away my reproach as a barren woman, I will give that son back to you so that we solve the problem of priesthood. God said, oh, I like this. Can you change the content of your prayer, sir? Lord, bless me with money. The gospel will not suffer. God said, I'm interested in that deal. Promote me in this office, and I will expand your kingdom agenda from this people. God said, that's what I need. Oftentimes, we pray selfish prayer regardless that God's priority is the kingdom. Number three, the theme reveals God's built, that God built heaven as his headquarters and earth as his branch office. God built heaven to be his headquarters and earth his branch office. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Psalm 115 verse 16. God wants what is obtainable in the headquarters to manifest in the branch office. If you have been in an organization where they have an organogram, when the headquarters issues order, what will happen in the branch office? They will follow through. So every order, policy statement, direction comes from headquarters. So God lives in the heaven as his headquarters. And we are here as managers of the branch office here on earth. And he expects from us that whatever he said in heaven, we shall exert it here on earth. Point number four, as managers on earth, God's branch office, God wants us to exert his kingdom agenda on planet earth. That's what he wanted. Exert his kingdom agenda. Have you been bothered? What is the agenda of God for your life? For your marriage? What is the agenda of God for your community? Don't go too far. Your community. What is the agenda of God for your village? For your family? Until you begin to probe into this, you may not enter into the realities of what God wants you to become. Point number five, the endless battle of all ages is between God's children, the kingdom of light, and Satan's agent, the kingdom of darkness. This is the endless battle. Satan is the god of this world. Jesus called him the prince of this world. However, God gave us here as children of men. The kingdom of darkness wants to establish the agenda here. And then the kingdom of God wants the agenda to be exerted here. This is the battle. And it's endless. But there's something I would like to draw your attention to. This battle is dependent on where you are. You don't need to carry out. You will see that as I'm going to move into the topic. You don't need to carry out this agenda everywhere. There is a systematic plan that heaven designates for each and every one of us to begin to take responsibility for God wherever he places you. Now, the topic Pastor Sam asked me to preach. He said, introducing the kingdom to the next generation. Dynamic evangelism. That's the emphasis. Dynamic evangelism. introducing this kingdom to the next generation, bearing in mind dynamic evangelism. And I have this as an anchor scripture, Matthew 24, verse 14. I would like to read it in some translations of the Bible. First is New King James Version. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." That is New King James for you. Now, Amplified Version says, "And this good news of the kingdom, the gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then with the kingdom they come, and then come the end." That's Amplified. Now, Good News Version says, "And this good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout all the world for a witness to all people, and then the end will come." Now, NLT, New Living Translation, it says, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then finally the end will come." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus Christ. This prophecy, that's point number one, shall be fulfilled only through dynamic evangelism. Every one of us know that Jesus gave the church what we call in theology, Great Commission. "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel." Beloved, the kingdom of God will never be carried out his agenda until the gospel is preached. One of my friends who is a missionary told a story that they went somewhere in the northern part of this Africa, West Africa to be precise. And they were sharing Jesus to some people. They asked them, "Are you from Nigerians?" They say, "Yes." He said, "This Jesus you are saying, is he one of the footballers in Nigeria?" "We know about Jeju Okocha, Kanu Nwankwo. Is Jesus one of them?" That's to say that these people have not heard about Jesus. How can the kingdom agenda be established there? The only tool for his kingdom to come is evangelism. And the kind of evangelism we are advocating this morning is dynamic. Please pay attention. It's dynamic evangelism. Dynamic means changing with active emotion. Dynamic means powerful, energetic. Dynamic means able to change and adapt. Dynamic is opposite of static. Static is monument. There is this monumentary type of evangelism that some of us have been carrying out and is not giving us results for the kingdom enlargement. And if you continue doing the same thing, you continue getting the same result. God is talking to us as a church about dynamism in our evangelism. And I want to give you this information. Number one, there are two antagonistic enemies of the gospel. Two. One of the greatest enemies of the gospel. Number one is money. Fund. T.L. Osborne says that salvation of God is free in Christ, but money is the leg of the gospel. Salvation of God is free, but money is the leg of the gospel. So So money is one of the biggest enemy of expanding the gospel, especially in dynamic way. Number two, position. A place of authority. And I will show you a very important scripture. Matthew chapter 28. Please put it on the screen. Use NLT. I want to read it from NLT. Matthew 28 from verse 11. Look at this scripture. As the women were on their way into the city, some of the men who had been guiding the tomb went to the leading priest and told them what has happened. They saw the resurrection power. They witnessed what happened. It was very clear. And the Bible says in verse 12, a meeting of all the religious leaders was called. And they decided to bribe the soldiers. This version says, a meeting with the elders was called. And they decided to give soldiers a large bribe. Please, let me follow this. Go ahead. I'm reading to verse 15, verse 13. They told the soldiers, you must say, Jesus' disciple came during the night while you were sleeping and stole his body. If the governor hear about it, we will stand up for you so you won't be get into trouble. The guards accepted bribe and said that they were say what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. I remember some years ago, I was in Israel, and we decided on Sunday, because the Sabbath is usually on Saturday, so churches, especially the Orthodox churches, they don't open on Sunday. So we decided to move to evangelism on that Sunday. We are preaching to some young men. One of them asked us, are you followers of our brother Jesus Christ? The way he said it looks so derogatory. Are you the follower of our brother Jesus Christ? Even in Israel, this Bible says that among the Jews, it is commonly reported. Soldiers accepted bribe to preach there was no resurrection. Before the resurrection message came, money has spoke. Influencing the message that soldiers, do you know what it means for a soldier to sleep on duty? By 1982, I was in Nigerian Defense Academy, Kaduna. I want to be a soldier because my uncle was a soldier. Then he was a lieutenant. I chose to be a soldier, but my father refused, even though I'm now a soldier of Christ. Soldiers are made to be disciplined. To sleep in duty is a reprimanded attack. But the soldier said so because what speak? Eh? Money. Large one. Large one. Secondly, position speak. They said to them, we are connected to the governor, don't mind. If the governor decided to punish you, we will stand up for you. Brethren, if we must do dynamic evangelism, these two things are very important. One of the things why we are praying that God will reposition you, sir, and place you in a place of authority, ma, is for you to stand in that echelon and disseminate the gospel. Nothing else and nothing less. If these men are not connected to the governor, they will not say that. They say, we know the governor. We will talk to him. You won't be in trouble. Just say what we tell you. Collect the money. How many of you will pay ransom? Huge amounts of money that the soldiers collected to preach against the resurrection and you are bringing out your money to say, preach that Jesus resurrected. That is the problem. Soldiers took money and they stood and say, he did not resurrect. Can you say, Lord, bless me. Put me in a place of power where I can stand and declare that Jesus resurrected. Strategies for dynamic evangelism. I'll quickly give you about 8. Number 1 is personal lifestyle. If we must do dynamic evangelism, our lives is on record. People are watching you. Do not allow your life to contradict your message. The character that is bad you are exhibiting is louder than the message you are preaching. That's why in your office, people cannot come to the saving knowledge of the truth from your message because of your life. Look at what Paul said to Corinthian church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to read verses 1 to 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. As we begin to praise, beginning to praise ourselves again, are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. Look at what Paul said to them. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good works among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on the tablet of stone, but on human heart. Somebody shout hallelujah. Sisters, the first strategy for dynamic evangelism is your life. Everything about you is the gospel. If you are beautiful, use it for the gospel. Let them say, can you look at this beautiful young lady? And she's preaching Christ. There's something about this Christ. If you are handsome, you are huge. Use it for Christ. I remember a brother who was part of the Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship in Onitsha. Very huge. So handsome. And he was very rich. Then we made him the voice chairman. If you're a Full Gospel, you know what I mean by voice. We have Voice magazine. So we made him the voice chairman. And one day he was complaining to the executive and said, you know, I cannot preach. And I cannot do anything. Sitting in this executive seat all the time, sit up as executive, chapter executive. Let me be sitting at the back. You know, I can't do anything. We are struggling. I say, bro, sit here. Don't worry. Sit. You are part of the executive of this chapter. Do you know one day, do we have any testifier in the house? A lady raised her hand and said, I went to testify to the glory of God. And what brought me to Christ was this man. Each time I look at his handsomeness, his dress code, how huge, and the vehicle he came from. I said, what do I have that I will not become like him? I didn't hear any gospel. This man was the one that made me to believe in Christ. And we said to the brother, did you see? Even you sitting down. My brother, you is the first strategy God has. So dress very well. When you are going for evangelism, Dressing is part of it. Don't just dress in such a way they will look at you and say, his gospel is fine, man. I go there now. Look at his shoe. You are sweating all over. Dress very well. People are looking at you. This is a generation of visibility. They don't want to hear your report. They want to see your results. That's the journey. They will look at you. Say, what has he achieved? This Jesus is introducing to us. Let's see who he is. Let's check him. And by the time they check you, nothing to write home about. Don't do that. You are the first strategy. Am I blessing anyone this morning? Who is the first strategy? I didn't hear you. Who is the first strategy? In Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, the Bible says, in the same way, let your good deed. You know, some versions say, let your light. But now let's see, say, let your good deed shine out for all to do what? To hear. Huh? For your neighbors to hear. For your neighbors to do what? To see. Your good deeds. Your good deed. Your righteousness. We have vertical as well as horizontal behavior. Holiness unto the Lord. That's vertical. Horizontal righteousness unto men. You can't be preaching the gospel and you are so wicked. In office, I'm an about a wickedness and I jump mad. That's Eba Korahana born. So wicked a person. And you begin to preach the gospel. Let your light shine. You may say, shall I go and carry light? This one say, let them see your good deed. Eziologe. Can you put it again on the screen, please? I like that scripture. Let your good deed be seen. Shine out for them to see. So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Some of you have destroyed the gospel in your office. I will tell you this story. It was a very terrible one for me, but I will share it with you. We are growing a generation of the kingdom mindset, kingdom mentality, kingdom people. The young man that went with me to that mission at Nsukka many, many years ago is a reverend canon in Asaba diocese, this diocese. He now is a reverend canon. But in those days, he followed me around as I move around to preach. That was years ago. So when we finished ministration at Nsukka, we came to Udenu Park to enter transport to Enugu. He was complaining while we were in Nsukka in the meeting that his shoe developed problem and is peeling his feet. So I decided to go and buy slippers for him, a bedroom slippers. By the time I arrived, the vehicle has gone. And he joined the bus. He don't know where we are going. Then Pastor Sam, I made a statement. Tike knock as Steven say make and then soccer. That was it. I never knew. I'm talking about your life. That will shut the door of the gospel in the heart of men. Before that second vehicle can fill up, all the women selling oba, women selling cashew nuts, they all gathered around the vehicle and said, that man that is wearing suit, come down. You will tell us. I like where, how you are laughing at me. You see my life. People were dragging. Say, what did they say? They told the people. Everybody in the bus. was heaping curse on me. And I prepared to preach in that bus. So how then will I preach? I didn't open my mouth, neither lift up my face until we reach Enugu. You are alive. It's going on record. Others are watching you. The second one is begin from your Jerusalem. We are in the era of freelancers. You are an apostle, thank God. You are an evangelist, thank God. Where is your base? Which place is your local church? Every aircraft you see on the air has an airport for landing and for takeoff. Where is your base, sir? Whatever evangelism you want to carry out must begin from your Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 made us to know that the gospel given unto us as a kingdom agenda has four dimensions. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The gospel is to witness. You don't need to know Genesis to Revelation. It's just to tell the story of how Jesus saved you, not another person. A witness is somebody who says what he sees. If you have experienced the gospel, if the power of the gospel had found expression in you, then say it. Things are different now. Something happened in me when I gave my life to Jesus. Say it. I was blind, now I can see. That is witness. Let me say this, and I'll push this and move forward. I discovered something that is worrisome to me. There are two. This is about the kingdom we are talking about. Number one is the language of some preachers telling people, receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It's not wrong, but I'm uncomfortable about it. Many have received Jesus, but they don't know where they kept it. I'm telling you. Many received him. They don't know where they kept him. The man who preached to us in the 80s, I gave my life to Christ when I was 17 years, about 34 years ago. Men who preached to us, they didn't ask us to receive him. They told us to give our lives to him. Now, when you give your life to Christ, you lost ownership right over your life. It is no longer you that lives. It is now Christ that lives in you. That is the gospel. So I'm asking you, don't receive him. Give your life to him. That is one. The second thing that is very consigned to me, sons and masters, is about the three steps to transformation and regeneration. Some of us stops at step one, some stop at step two, some didn't complete that step, even people who are here. In the gospel, the first step is when the gospel comes to you, you'll be remorseful. Remorse. You must show remorse as a sinner that you have sinned against the Lord over and over again. But some ended up in remorse. When he leaves this door, that was all. You can never be a witness if you end up in remorse. Is somebody getting educated? Number two step is repentance. You must move from remorse to repentance. Genuine repentance. Don't end in remorse. There are some tears that are annoying to God. You commit that sin, you cry. You go back to it again. You commit it again, you cry. You come back to God again. There are tears that are annoying to him. God is not interested in your remorse. God needs you to repent. Repentance is number two step. Don't end in repentance. What I heard Jesus preached, and I heard it from John the Baptist, is repent and be converted. Repent and be converted. Chegaria, machigaria. Some of you repented truly, but you have not been converted. That's why sins are finding expression in your life, and you are struggling with addictions, lust, all kinds of sins over the years, even as a Christian. Do you know why? You repented, but you have not converted. Now, I'll give you a simple analysis of conversion. Do you know cassava? Eh? There is a conversional process that cassava will undergo, and it will turn to garri. Oh God, you are not following me. Cassava will just turn to garri. There is nothing you can make garri to turn back to cassava. Nothing. The nature of that cassava has totally changed to another nature. That's why you are still struggling, even as a pastor. You are repented, but you have not been converted. There's a nature in your life that still yearns for sin. That's why you can watch pornography and hide. That's why you can still masturbate. That's why you see something yearning in yourself to watch naked people. Something in you is alive, oh. It's alive. Desiring to see naked people. That thing is in you. But when the conversion takes place, that nature will be totally out. You will move into another different nature. I don't struggle to live holy life. I live it as a natural life. Because I experience conversion. A transformation that is total. And that is what God wants me to tell you. You can't be a witness in this kingdom except you experience conversion. And now show me that scripture. Some pastors say, I am a local pastor. I have a local ministry. Every Christian that truly, genuinely converted has a global mandate. But there's a beginning point, sir. The Bible says, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. Some versions say beginning. The first place is what? Jerusalem. You cannot go and preach in Samaria when you are not done dominating your Jerusalem with the gospel. Your family is your Jerusalem. The school where you work is a Jerusalem. The school where you study is a Jerusalem. Your office is a Jerusalem. Your village is a Jerusalem. The first place for dynamic gospel begins is your Jerusalem. Some of you here in COT, you join us. When we go for your traditional marriage, we'll meet something that will shock all of us. Your father will be demanding for tobacco, demanding for cigarettes. Say, no, to say, man, I want to die. And I said, no, she's a born again Christian. Say, we are hearing it for the first time. She's not. We don't know her with that identity unless she's bearing dual identity card. Oh, mother, she's not born again, anything. We begin to struggle with them because you didn't carry the gospel to where? You're not hearing me. To where? Touch your neighbor. Say, what have you done about your Jerusalem? You are shambaking in tongue here. Can you go to your Jerusalem, sir? Your brothers. You can't come in my community where I came from. Ask Igwe of the community. He will tell you he's a born again Christian. Ask the president general. I'm not talking about my family, not my clan, not the kindred, not the village, the entire community. Go back to your Jerusalem. That's where you will start. Now, from Jerusalem, you move to Judea. Let me use Nigeria as a context. Your Jerusalem, if you are living in Asaba, your Jerusalem is Asaba. You must finish your work in Asaba. Then your Judea is other parts of this country. Do you know, I don't know whether it's happened to you, some of the ministers that are here. When people want to invite you, they will call people around you. I have preached in Abuja. Somebody called. Somebody I didn't know. It was when I came, he was introducing me. He said, I want to tell you, sir, and the church, that I called somebody I knew very well in the city of Onitsha to ask about this man of God. And the person said, he's a blessing to us here in Onitsha. He will also be a blessing to you if he will allow him to come. I was shocked. The first time my wife and I went to Indonesia to preach, we preached in two states in that country. Somebody in Onitsha introduced us to Indonesia. I don't know the person from Adam. He said, I knew him. He had been a blessing to us in Onitsha. Don't carry the gospel to Samaria when you are not done with your Jerusalem and Judea. Then when you are done with Judea, which is Nigeria, you move to Samaria, outside Nigeria, West African continent, North Africa, the continent of Africa, and then Ottoman part. Each and every one of us carries divine mandate of global mission. But the mandate starts from where first? I didn't hear you. From your Jerusalem. Number three, professional evangelism. Another strategy. Are you a lawyer? Put a dinner outreach for your colleagues. Just small one in your chambers. Call them. You can go with your wives. And then you put somebody to talk to them. Are you a medical doctor? Professional evangelism. I may not talk to them using their terms, but a medical doctor is a born again. We use that terminology to speak to them. When you are talking to them, he said, can I introduce a friend to you? He wants to talk to us for about 10 minutes. He's a consultant, gynecologist. He majored in Hamara no onyo to her. And when that man begins to preach the gospel, you see her pempe. But when you as a pastor, they say, I want to introduce one apostle, they look at you. Size your shoe and your tie that is going like this. It may not make much sense. Professional evangelism. It's a dynamic evangelism. I was shocked that Jehovah Witness people knock at my gate. My wife is here. I was listening from the window. They say, is there anybody deaf and dumb here? The gate man said, no. What are you looking for them? He said, we were trained specially to minister to deaf and dumb. Eh? A deaf and dumb man who have never heard the gospel. The first thing he will hear is that of Jehovah Witness. That is how advanced Satan is on professionalism. Muslims are here. Go to the north, preach, they will fight you. They are here. They will fight you if you preach to them. What have we done to Muslims around us? So many things have pushed them from the north. Here, I have been in Call North to preach. Mention them, Sokoto, Mubi, Kaduna, Kano. I don't think there are places in the north I have never preached. When I went to preach in Kano, they used a truck of military men to escort us from the airport to the meeting venue. The same thing happened to Abuja University when I went there to preach. Only our vehicle, escorted by military men, we are permitted to come close. All other vehicles far away from the auditorium. Because of insecurity, they are here. And you know how to speak that language. Why don't you engage them? He won't fight you. He will fight you there. Say you are there to convert them. He won't fight you here. And there are many here. Nobody is thinking about them. Number four, influential evangelism. Using your money and your influence to propagate the gospel. Another strategy for dynamic evangelism for this kingdom. My wife is aware. I had a friend who retired as AIG, Assistant Inspector General of Police. When he was Assistant Commissioner for Police in Anambra State, every Monday, he would send people to come and pick me from my house in Onitsha to come and address all the DPOs, area commanders in Anambra State, before the commissioner will brief them. Every Monday. By 7:30, they're already there. I'll just come, enter the car, they will take me coca. Oh, I prayed ministering. One of the DPO came and said, sir, they posted me somewhere and I'm afraid to go. The armed robbers, they knew me. I don't know them. Why should that meeting be organized? The man who was the assistant commissioner of police uses his influence of position. That's why God is making you manager. Oh, they better aki and ebe. God, make me manager so that by influence of managerial position, I can expand your kingdom. And heaven will begin to think about your name. Not God, make me manager so that I can show my village people. That man that took land from my father, God will punish you when you bless me. And God said, you won't see it. God, give me a car so that I put a big speaker. So that when the car is moving on the street, God say, "Buy God keke for now." My wife, you say, we minister in a meeting. Someone who was the commissioner for local government commission, he said to me, "Sir, can you come to my office and speak to all the local government chairmen and their secretary? They come for briefing, but I would like to give you 1 hour to speak to them." I say, I will come. It's a strategic evangelism. There's nothing you can do, post a handbill to bring all the local government chairmen to sit. But that influence, give that platform. I was there. I finished ministering this. The woman moved the motion. We would like to have this kind of thing. They say, yes, if you want to sign a memorandum, about 37 signed. So we like this man to be coming to minister to us before we have our briefing. A wife of governor, one of the governors, for 8 years, 4 years, the first tenor, second tenor, my wife and I, we are having couples forum in their government house, organized by Her Excellency. Senators, we are there. House of Rep members, they are there. Commissioners, if you don't come, do you want to lose your position? Because the letter said, His Excellency will be sitting by 5. All guests should be seated by 4:30. Be guided. Be guided. All the members of House of Assembly, their wives, they were there. My wife and I, we were there. Excellency will come and greet us as her guest, put us on the seat. The governor will come, we share pleasantry, he will sit back, national anthem, hymn for someone, and I will preach for 8 years. Influence. One day I was telling her, I say to the governor, I say, "Yes, Excellency, I know that no billboard can bring this man except the influence of the office you carry." Brothers, now that God is pulling you up, what will be his gain? Do you have kingdom mentality? God, lift me up so that I can leave this kingdom. That's what Demo Shakareha did. And full gospel is spreaded everywhere. He used his influence, his money. I finished preaching in a synod of a diocese. A traditional ruler who came for the church service. He came to me and said, I will be your new friend. Say, you go. He said, I'll be doing my ofala. And I'll be crowning people with chieftaincy title. I won't do that until you finish preaching for 1 hour, 30 minutes. My wife and I, we were there. Everywhere filled up with red caps. And I was seated very close to His Majesty. And he said, I had a friend. I met him at the synod. I would like him to talk to us for 1 hour, 30 minutes. Before I will commence the chieftaincy and coronation. You won't leave, Pastor Sam. I hate you, hate you, so you will stay and listen. You will stay. Ibiago. They were there until I finished. I made an altar call. His Royal Majesty lifted up his cap and dropped it on his throne and moved for altar call. Other red keeps. I surrender. I sorry. Why? A man of influence. Can you put your hand on your head and pray? Just put your hand. Pray for 1 minute. Oh Lord, make me a man of influence. A woman of influence. I will use this to propagate the gospel. I will never limited your enlargement, expansion because of my selfishness. Lord, bless me. Elevate me. Give me influence. Give me influence. Influence. Opportunity. Opportunity. I will use this for the propagation of the gospel. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Just 3 more. We know about social media as another dynamic way of evangelism. I have a friend who is a missionary somewhere in the northern part of Africa. He told a story that many Muslims who were denied the opportunity of reading the Bible, they have access of listening to the gospel through YouTube, through Facebook. If they see Bible in your hand, you are finished. But Bible is already in their phones. It's a means. But some of you, what do you post? Whenever you put on a nice clothes, church thing on my mind, you just send it. They'll say, nice peak, cute. What has that to do with the kingdom? What has that to do with the kingdom? My missionary friend, who was an Indian evangelist, he built a school and told me, I need people who can teach English. My wife and I, we were in India. We met a professor who don't know how to speak English. He said, I don't need it unless I want to walk outside India as a nation. All we speak is our national language, Hindi. I don't need English for anything. It's not a criteria to give me work, even as a professor. And this man built school. Put believers from Nigeria to go and teach English. But in their teaching, they have what we call scriptural integration. If you are teaching biology, corner you to Christ. And somebody was teaching about environmental sciences, was talking about rock, this rock, this rock, this rock, this rock. And suddenly he stopped and said, there's a rock that is not here. It's a rock of ages. It's a rock of Gibraltar. It's the rock that the builders rejected, but it's the chief cornerstone. Whosoever fall upon him shall be broken in pieces. Whosoever fall upon this rock, the rock will grind it to powder. That rock is Jesus. Anyway, we are talking about rock. Scriptural integration. Evangelism. Dynamic one. People don't want you to carry Bible and say, Dynamic evangelism. As I'm bringing this to, I want to talk about strategic evangelism, understanding non-essentials. There are some of us, you talk rubbish about some of the churches. I want you to stop it. God is doing silent work. Oh. I have been invited by PP, parish priest, in Roman Catholic Church. He said that Catholic men organization asked him to invite me 3 times in different church. I have preached in Catholic Church here in Asaba. God is doing a work. Don't talk what you don't know. I was invited to preach in a provincial conference of Cherubim and Seraphim. I have been there for 3 times. All I need is to remove my shoe. The gospel is not tied to my shoe. I walk in the Holy Land. And I will make a call and they will come to the seven of the truth. This year, I was invited in International Youth Conference of Christ Holy Church, Udozi Obodo. Christ Holy Church. I was there. Are you a member of that church? Okay. I was there. At River State, International Youth Conference. Youth from different parts of the world. Okay. Stop talking. Because they will censor your message and say it's our anti-church. Don't say it. Preach the gospel. What is Mary Mary? Happier. Abroad gospel. Chaplets, abroad gospel. These are non-essential in core evangelists. Leave it. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Finally, social action, community development project is part of evangelism that is dynamic. My wife and I, we do a meeting for our community every 2nd January. The post handbill for the next year is already out, spread in all the platform of my community. 2nd January, a great prayer rally. We have 20 words in my community, 20. And each word will give us 10 indigent person, 10 indigent person. Whether it's a Roman Catholic, Anglican, a heathen, I don't care. All I know is that person must have need for 1 bag of rice. And we put on that place 200 bags of rice. When your name is listed as one of those who will collect rice, won't you come for the program? So we have 200 members. Automatic members. Before others. And they won't collect rice until I finish ministry, no. Community project. God, that's why you need God to give you money. Because money is part of the influence, like I said. And money is also the enemy. You take a project like borehole, water project, hospital, health center, clinic, prison outreach. When I had my 50th birthday, my wife is here, Mommy Obiora and Sam, all of them, we are part of. 50th birthday, when I had my 50th birthday, I said to my wife, I will celebrate it in Onitsha prison. And I spent time and a lot of money. They say we have 1,260 inmates here. Whatever you are going to buy, buy it in that number. Toothpaste, 1,260. Toothbrush, 1,260. Slippers, what? We bought a lot of things. And I spent time to preach the gospel. The gospel. Youth empowerment program, school, widow, outreach program. They will gather to collect something, but it's an avenue to reach them. They will not come except there is a structure like that. And finally, reaching out to the next generation. I want to say this. I was part of National Equip Conference in Redemption Camp in the month of September. And I called my wife from Redemption Camp, RCCG, where we are ministering. I said to her, my orientation really changed in this National Equip Conference about our neglect to the youth ministry. I'm very much involved, Pastor Sam knew, but God is talking about children ministry. Say, Satan is more dynamic than you people. Before now, we thought that people who are in occultism are those in the universities. But I tell you, even in the primary schools, I want to resonate that passion for you to preach at the primary school. Don't think they are not hearing you. They are making intentional impact for the next generation. If you want to plug a mango fruit now, plant the mango tree. If you want to plug, mango fruit in the next 20 years, plant the mango tree now. Let the children get our attention in COT with a lot of children aids. Something that will captivate their mind. Nickelodeon is one of the, what they call it now? Cartoon Network Pay, isn't it? They started a series that was horrible. I have to publicize it to all the parents. Introducing young people to gay, homosexuality, and lesbianism through cartoon. That's how Satan works. Very dynamic. In our church, even when you made an altar call, children are coming, you send them back. I don't do. Jesus embraced them and said, none of this world should perish. Say, the angel watch over them before my father. Let's give attention to children. Let's give intentional attention to children. A man made an altar call, two children came and one adult. He went home and told his wife. It was a successful meeting. Say, how many answered altar call? He said, 2.5. And the wife said, how? He said, 2 full and 1.5. A child is an adult in a small body. That's my definition of a child. It's a grown adult, but in a small body. Make an intentional investment. That little child later grew and become Billy Graham. He gave his life just as a child. And God started a great work in his life. Pastor Sam, Pastor Benny, in Life of Faith, and all the pastors and ministers across the globe who are connected online, let's give intentional attention to our children. Let's produce more virtual aids. Some pastors don't visit children church. They make noise. But I tell you, ask them what they thought, they will tell you. They carry a magnetic view, especially in virtual ed. Please return back to your moral instruction, secondary, primary. I do my primary every Tuesday. I do the secondary every Wednesday. My wife is here. Primary, nursery. In fact, now I'm teaching the nursery, the fear of God, as a series. Then the secondary, I'm teaching them dangers of living in secrecy. I taught them 2 days ago as a series. They won't pay you. They won't give you an honor room. But I tell you, you are making intentional investment for next generation. University undergraduate, publications, evangelism through drama. Thank God for Mount Zion. I give God glory for what God is using that group and that family to do. You can replicate that. This is an age of visibility. People don't read, but they like to see. They glue to the screen. Even the children, they glue to the screen. Have you seen them watch cartoon? They'll be like this. And you'll be confused. And if you tell them, they will tell you. Publication. Let me say this and I will leave it. My wife and I, we organized couples forum majorly in the city of Onitsha. And 1 year, the theme the Lord gave to us is, I hate divorce, says the Lord. That was the theme. And when we are printing the handbill, the Lord said to me, print the handbill 20,000. Invest more to share it. Don't expect them to come. Let everybody that pick up the handbill see, I hate divorce, says the Lord. Increase your publicity. Put more billboards. Put more banners. So that if you move in this direction, I hate divorce, says the Lord. I hate divorce, says the Lord. I hate divorce, says the Lord. I hate. Just move ahead and do it. And we spread it in the entire city. Do you know what I saw? The banners were pasted today, and the next morning, no banner was standing. Pastor Sam, I was shocked. The brethren in the media reported to me and said, Daddy, all the banners we pasted, somebody will pull it down, cut it with scissors, and push it there. I went back to the Lord. The Lord said, It's aggression and hostility of satanic powers. They don't want people to know that I hate divorce. Reprint the banners. God is intentional about the kingdom. We reprinted the banner and spread it the more. And I told them, be watching them. Until they met him. Publication. Have you been going through Asaba Express Road? You will see a very big billboard. Say, Jesus Christ is coming soon. That thing is evangelism. Whether you like it or not, you see it. Even if you are denying it, he's coming soon. If you don't want, stop passing that road. If you pass it tomorrow, he's coming soon. Publication. Rise on your feet as we pray together. Can you just lift up your hand? I'm for the kingdom. I'm for the kingdom. I'm for the kingdom. Lord, I seek not my own, but for your glory to be revealed among men. I seek not my own. I seek not my own. Can you reframe your prayer point? Reframe your prayer point. You have been asking God for blessing. For what? Keep me alive. For what? Get me married. For what? Give me admission. For what? Promote me. For what? Can you reframe it and say, Lord, for the kingdom? I want to develop that attitude of the kingdom, kingdom mentality, kingdom ideology. Lord is for the kingdom. I want to learn this just for the glory of God. To be seen among men, that Jesus will be exalted, that his name will be glorified among men. Can you lift up your two hands, reframe your prayers, go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. That Jesus be seen, that his glory be revealed among men.